I want you to open your Bibles real quickly to James 4. James chapter 4. As we look into the Word of God this morning. Start playing it. James chapter 4 and verse number 8. If you're there, say I'm there. James 4 verse 8, the first sentence. Says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Everybody say that, read it together. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to me, to you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Psalm 73, 28 says, but it is good for me to draw near to God. Draw near to God. And He'll draw near to you. We've been teaching about encounters of transformation. Encounters of transformation. That every time we encounter the Lord, something changes in us. Whether we realize it at that moment or not, something changes. Because flesh has to die in the presence of God. Sin has to run from the presence of God. Demons can't come into the presence of God. Amen. Self changes in the presence of the Lord because of our encounters with God. Every believer desires to change. Is there anyone here that you do not want to change for the sake of the kingdom or the sake of God? You don't want to change. I'm taking my hand down. There's a desire in the heart of every believer to change. To change. I want you just for a moment. Pastor Joshua had just sing the chorus part. Heavenly Father, we desire, we long, we crave, we have an appetite for You. We desire, Father, for You to change our lives. I thank You, Jesus. Glory to God. We won't change to the world's ways, but Father, we change to Your way. We desire that encounter with You. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. An encounter is a face-to-face with God. We're having a face-to-face with Him right now. As we've been worshiping Him, we've been having a face-to-face with Him. Face-to-face. An encounter is the pouring forth of the Spirit. But I want to give you some things about what encounters do as we look into the Word of God this morning. James says, draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. That means we've got a responsibility to draw into the presence of the Lord, to come to Him. But I want you to see something about encounters of transformation. And if you're taking notes, I'd like you to write these things down. All right? Encounters of transformation involve the changing of our soul man. They involve the changing of our soul man. Our soul man, your soul man is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Every encounter with God will bring about transformation if we will get ourselves involved in that transformation. In other words, to give ourselves over to the Spirit of God. Now, change is this, all right? Change is to put something in place of another. I want to ask you a question this morning. What do you need God to put in place of your life, in place of something that He's been dealing with that He wants to remove? What do you need God to put in place there? To change is to alter the present with the future. So when the Spirit of God comes to change us, it alters the present with the future of what God is wanting to do. And He begins to start a work in us. Change is also to put spiritual in the place of the natural. That's a major challenge for a lot of people, is to get the spiritual of our lives put in place of the natural. The natural, the old nature, likes to control us in every way possible. How many of you know that? The old nature. But there's a spirit nature, Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, who wants to live in us. So change and transformation is moving the natural out of the way and bringing the spiritual things of God to the forefront of our lives. The spiritual. In our minds, in our will, and even in our emotions. So that the Spirit of God is ruling us in our thinking, amen, changing our mindsets, so that the Spirit of God is ruling us in our acts of obedience or our will, because it's become submitted to the Spirit of God. Hello, somebody. And in our emotions, so that in our emotions we're not all over the place. We have stability. Somebody say stability. Who needs some stability in your emotional man right now? Just lift your hand all over this house. You need some stability in your emotional man. The Spirit of God, the Word of the Lord, in encounters with Him, will bring about that stability. So you can come into the house of the Lord like we have today and worship Him and allow His anointing to touch you and His Word to change you, and walk out of here stable, steadfast, abounding in the things of God. Amen. Amen. Because you had a face-to-face with God. You had an encounter. And change took place. Now, Encounters of transformation. Let's look at the word transform, because to transform is to change the form or the appearance of. You can come into the house of God heavy and leave with the joy of the Lord, having the appearance of what was transformed and changed by the power of God and His Word. Amen. A spirit of heaviness has to drop off of your life when you are in the presence of God, because the anointing of the Spirit of God is the burden breaker. He's the chain breaker. Come on, somebody. Amen. He said He'll take the yoke from off your neck, because the yoke is destroyed by the anointing. Amen. By the encounter of the Spirit of God. Transform also means to change the condition or the character. See, every time we're in the presence of God and we're encountering the Lord face to face, our character, our inward man and our nature is changed. When you encounter the power of God and who He is, He will reveal Himself to you and begin to impart Himself in you, so that when you walk out of the house and you move into the world and out into your job and so forth, you're walking in a transformed life with the character and the nature of Jesus inside of you. Amen. So that what goes on in the world doesn't affect you, because you've got your mind, will, and emotions in check to the transforming power and the character of God. Amen. And His Word. This is good teaching. Amen. So when the battle tries to come, when the winds try to blow, when the storm tries to fall on you, you are steadfast in the Lord because you're walking in the character of the Spirit of God. You've had an encounter that changed you from being unstable to now being stable and steadfast.
Amen.
Amen. No matter what the winds and the waves do around you, the Spirit of God gives you stability. Transform. All right? It's to change from condition or character, is to change from natural or the carnal to the supernatural. Now write this down. The second thing I want to encourage you with today is that transformation is necessary for empowerment. It's necessary for empowerment. Here's why. God cannot anoint flesh. In fact, He will not anoint flesh. So transformation into the character and the nature of Jesus is important and necessary for empowerment. If there is no transforming, there is no power. This is very important. That's how we get in trouble if we're not allowing God to change us and to transform us as believers and move us to next dimensions or next realms of the Spirit of God, then we end up in our flesh trying to do it ourselves. And when we try to do it ourselves, our carnal man will rise up and instead of being crucified, and will try to rule and reign and control our lives, because we haven't been transformed in a particular area that God may be working on. But that transformation is necessary to the power of God coming upon you and upon your life. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I've tried it. I've tried things without the anointing of God and without encounters with God in my life, and they don't work. They end up just being the fruit of Gail instead of the fruit of the Spirit or the fruit of God. Come on, somebody. Amen. And the fruit of the flesh will never produce anything spiritual or supernatural in your life. the longing that we have after God and desire for Him in transformation, when we have a face-to-face for Him, with Him, is the desire He meets in that transformation, that longing He meets in that desire, come on somebody, and brings about the change. It's necessary. It's necessary. Somebody say transformation. Now let's look at this, because this is really important. We need transformation because without it there is no power to follow through in the changes that need to be made. What happens then is we end up pretending or fake it till you make it. Hello, somebody. And God didn't create pretenders. He created overcomers. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Who are changed into His image by the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Pretenders don't carry any authority. High talkers don't carry any authority. It's changed believers that carry the authority and the power of heaven. Hallelujah. Because we've had encounters, not just an encounter, encounters with the presence of God. Hallelujah. Encounters. So here's the truth. All right, here's the truth. Transformation is necessary for empowerment. Somebody shout empowerment. I need empowerment. I need it every day. I need it when I sleep. I need it when I wake up. You need it when you go to your job. You need it in the marketplace. Come on, somebody. We need empowerment. You need empowerment to overcome the enemy. You need empowerment to defeat the devil. You need empowerment to say no to temptation. You need empowerment. And transformation brings empowerment. Let's look at what it is to be empowered, all right? Let's define it. Empower is to give authority of power. Not authority and power, authority of power. See, for power to operate, it has to have the authority to operate it. Oh, you got to get this. In Acts 10:38, Jesus went about doing good and healing all the were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God had anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power. So, authority without power does you no good, and power without authority will make you imbalanced. But authority of power by the Holy Spirit, which Jesus had in the Holy Ghost, and then the power, the authority to operate that power and say to the sick, be healed, and say to the lame, get up and walk, and to say to the blind, eyes be opened. That same authority then comes to us in an encounter with the power of God. He releases authority of power. Are you getting this? Authority of power. Now, to empower also means to authorize the use of that power. Authorized. If our law enforcement in this city carried their guns and their badges and everything else they wear and so forth, but they were not authorized to use any of what they carry, they might as well take it off and leave it back at the station. Are you hearing this? But they've been given some power and then authorized to use that power for our protection. Hallelujah. God's put on you some armor. that gives you power over the works of the enemy, but he authorizes you to use that armor for the protection of your life and the kingdom of God. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Now watch this. It also, to empower, is to give ability. Well, I don't have the ability. I'm going to try to get to talk about Moses again this morning, but I don't know if I'm going to have time to get there. But God gave him ability he didn't have. He was a stutterer. He couldn't communicate. I mean, as far as the children of Israel were concerned, you know, and those around him, he'd killed an Egyptian. He was banished to the backside of the desert. He was a nobody. But God looked at him and said, I've had covenant with you since you were a baby. Hello, somebody. And God gave him the ability to stand in front of Pharaoh and not say, Pharaoh. Come on. Let those guys go. Now, I'm not making fun of anybody. That's what Moses was. But when God got a hold of him at the burning bush, I talked about that before. When God got a hold of him at the burning bush, the encounter with the fire of God, something changed in his life at that moment. And one of them was God delivered him from the fear of speaking forward, and he anointed him with the ability to go into Pharaoh's palace and say, the Lord, the great I am, said to me to tell you, Pharaoh, to let his people go. Somebody say empowerment. Empowerment is to also enable. Enable. This is a powerful word. It comes from two words. The word EM means this. It means a unit of measure. And power is the ability and capability to act in vigor and force of the Spirit. So to empower is the measure of God's Spirit and his ability given to the believer and the authority to utilize the force of that power. Somebody say empower. You see, every encounter, transformation is needed for empowerment. Now watch this. Number three, write this down. Empowerment is the glory of God released in the believer. Empowerment. It's the glory of God released in the believer. Every time you have an encounter with God, there is empowerment, which is the glory of the Lord released within you. Every time. Yesterday I had an encounter with the Lord. It's a very strong encounter of the Spirit of God. Just a residual of the Spirit seemed to be with me most of the day. And let me rephrase that. Didn't seem to be with me. He was with me. I sensed something transforming going on. Because transformation is necessary for empowerment. See, we don't just get power from God by laying hands on people alone or praying for the sick or something like that. There's got to be another encounter, another altar, another place, another experience, another walk with God. There's got to be another secret place we get into with the Father for fresh empowerment, for fresh anointing. It's called an encounter. An encounter with God. But it's necessary for empowerment. Now watch, let's walk this through. Empowerment is the glory of God released in the believer. Now, glory in the Greek and the Hebrew synonymously, it means everything that makes God, God. Every time you have a face-to-face with God, you're going to get some of God. That's what happened to Moses. That's what happened to Jacob. Jacob said, I won't go until you bless me. And he blessed him. He got some of God in his God encounter. Come on, somebody. And every time you have encounters with God, you get more of who He is and what makes Him who He is, His glory. Are you hearing this? His glory. So, the glory of the Lord released is this. It is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the presence, the anointing, and the power of heaven. It's all that God is. You can read that in book number 2, Understanding the Depths of God. Out there, you can get them. But empowerment is the glory of the Lord. It's just not a boost of the Spirit or a touch of the anointing. Come on, not just that alone. It's not just the feeling of His presence. Is that it's an impartation of who He is and what makes Him God. And if you have what makes Him God living inside of you, then you have what makes you victorious in every situation. Amen. You have transformation. Are you getting this? Elbow your neighbor and say, we're getting this. Oh, my, my. No, I'm not finished yet. Number 4, write this down. Number 4, glory, all right, what makes God God, glory increases within the believer through multiple encounters with Almighty God. So when you have an encounter with the Lord, a face-to-face with God, it makes you hungry for another one. Come on, somebody. That second encounter with God makes you hungry for even more. That's the way the baptism of the Holy Spirit works. If you're a believer but you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, then your next encounter is the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues. As the Spirit gives you utterance, that's the next step of encounter with the power of heaven, with the glory of God. Now, stay with me. I'm trying to be very methodic here and very, very scriptural as we move with the Spirit of God. See, in those encounters, glory increases in the believer in every encounter. What happens, however, though, is, see, we as believers initiate the fellowship and the worship. God will initiate the encounter. He said to Moses when they were in the Sinai desert at Mount Sinai, they came to a mountain, and the Lord said to Moses, I want you to come up on the mountain. And then He would send him back down to the people. And then he said, come back up on the mountain. I don't know how many times he was up and down that mountain having encounters with God. The last time he went up, or the second to the last time he went up on the mountain, he was there for 40 days. Next week. But he had multiple encounters with the Spirit of God, with God Himself in His glory, that was preparing him for the next thing that would need to happen in his life. Multiple times. Now, we initiate the fellowship and the worship. It's pouring out of our soul. Pouring out of our soul. How many of you have ever got on your face before God or went to your prayer closet and you just poured out your soul to God? You didn't even know what to say. You didn't even know how to pray. You didn't even know what to speak. But you began to pour out your soul, your mind, will, and emotions before God, and laid it into His hands. Let me tell you something. His capable hands are gentle and tender. And whatever you're walking through and dealing with, when you pour out your soul, then His responsibility in encounter is to pour out an intentional anointing of who He is into your soul, man. That's encounter. That's encounter. Now watch. It's a face-to-face. The fifth thing, write this down. This is very important. Encounters always involve fire. They always involve fire. I'm talking about the fire of God. Did you know that every time God does something, He has released some of His fire? The glory of who He is. Every time He answers a prayer for you, He released some of His fire that consumes everything else. Come on, somebody. And just swallows that thing up on your behalf. Every encounter involves fire. The fire we're talking about is the fire of the glory of God manifest. Now listen, watch this. Fire is the manifestation of who God is, whether visible or non-visible, because He is a consuming fire. I've had encounters with God where I have felt the fire of God so strong, I did not see it with my natural eyes, but I knew that that unseen that was going on was the glory of Almighty God. Because whether it's seen or unseen, God will manifest His glory, and He'll do it in the fire of the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing this? If you have a little Sunday go-to-meeting time with God, but the fire hasn't come yet, you're not finished yet. The encounter hasn't started, oh, come on, somebody, till the fire shows up. And it may not be the great big blazing fire, but if it's just a little flame, it is still the fire of God. Hallelujah. Now watch. The fire is cleansing. The fire is purging. And then comes the empowering. See, fire has to be a part of everything we do in coming to the Lord, because He's first got to burn away any flesh that's tried to grow back on your spiritual bones. Hello, somebody. Any carnal thinking that's tried to sneak back into your thought life, He's got to burn it off. He's got to purge it off. God's a consuming fire. And you'll see that fire happen before the fire of empowerment happens. Anybody getting anything? Now watch. The fire is all-consuming. Therefore, the sacrifice of self takes place. The consuming of flesh and carnal and natural is touched by the fire. You can't help it when you pray. Every time you call on the name of the Lord, there's fire. I can prove it to you in the scripture. The Bible says, if two shall agree as touching anything, the Greek word there, as touching anything, literally means to touch the fire. That if two shall agree as touching the fire, they shall have what they ask of God. So when you begin to ask, you are touching the fire of heaven. There's an encounter that's going to go on. There's a consuming that's going to consume the old. And there's a fire that's going to release the new. Amen. Every transformation, every encounter involves fire. The sacrificing of self. It involves the emptying of self, holding nothing back from God. You know, when we hold back from God, that's when we're doing it ourselves. That's where we get in trouble. But watch, there's the yielding of self. The yielding is to give in, give up, to surrender. You might as well give it all over. Surrender it all to the Lord. That's part of the encounter. Here it is, God. Whether you got to cry it out, pour it out, shout it out, whatever you've got to do. Amen. There's the yielding of self. There's the submitting of self, or to yield control to another. Every encounter with God and His fire will cause us to yield and to give up and surrender to Him. You can't help but not want to when the glory of God is there. And the glory of God is here, right now. Then there's the humbling of self. It's what the fire of God will do. It'll humble you. And you'll say to yourself, why did I wait so long, God? Why did I not have this encounter with you earlier? How come I know that if I will initiate the worship and if I'll initiate the fellowship, then, Father, you will initiate the encounter. Why did I wait so long? Why did I hold back in worship when everyone else was getting blessed? Why did I do that? I don't know why I did that, because there's a battle. But in the fire you yield, watch. The fire also is the bowing of the knee to the authority of heaven, to heaven's glory. And once the knee has been bowed to the fire of glory, of heaven's glory, then the Spirit of God will lift you up and cause you to stand in heaven's glory in the power of anointing. Somebody ought to get something out of this today. Every encounter involves the Word of God, the Word of promise. The Word of promise. You got to go to the Word and find out what saith the Lord is. Because every promise you take with you into the encounter, the Spirit of the Lord will confirm with His fire and glory. Come on, somebody. And in accountability to that promise, He will make sure it's fulfilled for you. And the last thing, listen to this. Every encounter involves the house of God. Now let me clarify it. The temple of God, which is you. Every encounter involves the house of God, the temple. You, Corinthians says you. 1 Corinthians 3:16, don't you know that you are the temple of the living God. You are the house of God. Every encounter has got to be a welcoming him to the house. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord, bring the fire. Come on, Lord. Come on, God, fill me with the fire, the Spirit of the Lord. Come on.